Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. And I'm sorry, it's not Meatloaf Monday. What am I doing?
I was about to say,
I got that stuck in my head. Taco Tuesday. It's all about the food, whatever it is. Some of y'all are thinking, am I hearing a recording? Taco Tuesday. Hey, listen, we're in the same discussion about fighting for kids. And look, one of my favorite people when it comes to fighting for kids is one of our contributors here. Emily Jones is the founder of Moms for Liberty in Madison, the first Moms for Liberty chapter in the state of Alabama. She's been making waves locally and statewide. And she's also one of our podcasters. She's got the Controversial Mom podcast when the latest edition came out Sunday night, talking about church and politics on that one. So, yeah, let's quit talking and bring her on. Hey, Emily Jones, how you doing?
Doing good. How are y'all?
We're good. Hey, are y'all a meatloaf house, by the way?
It depends on the situation, but you said that, and I literally, like, turned my head sideways, and I'm like, please tell me today is not Monday.
Well,
you had me for a second.
Sorry. Yeah, just, it's apparently I got meatloaf on the brain. All right, hey, listen, I know you saw the vote from last night, the Tuberville bill. That's our senator, Tommy Tuberville, in the fight for kids. But I want to point out something. You may have heard this. I know you were listening to the show earlier, but he's got several guests tonight. He's doing a speech at the joint session of Congress. And of his four guests, two of them, 50% of them, one's a female athlete who was injured by a dude she had to be in competition with, and the other is a mother who saved her daughter from being transed without her permission by the school system that was trying to do things, you know, without the parents knowing. Take any of that and run with it.
Yeah, I love Trump 2.0 because he is pulling out all the stops. He does not have to worry about reelection. He's ticked off, and he is very comfortable just doing whatever needs to be done. So I think it's hilarious and great that he's platforming these people because they need it. We need to face the reality of what all this ridiculousness in our society has done, not to just women in general, but the face of it. This is what these decisions are doing. So I think it's fabulous that he's doing it. It's horrible that we have these situations, but people need to see this firsthand. These are the consequences of these decisions, or lack of decisions in the case with this Senate vote last night. So I'm extremely happy that he's doing it, and I hope that it helps to wake up all these people that keep saying, well, that's not true, that doesn't happen.
Well, listen, I mean, I know you've been in the fray. You've been in the fight for things that are best for kids and the idea that the school systems don't get to make the decisions that parents should be the ones making. But I also look at this vote last night, and I realize that legislators are elected to vote. I mean, I knew what it was like to go to Montgomery in the state Senate and vote my conscience on behalf of my constituents. But I have a hard time believing that every single Senate Democrat, every single one of them, all felt strongly that having transgender dudes playing girls' sports was really what their constituents wanted and that what they wanted to do themselves. What do you think?
Yeah, it's nonsense. No one actually believes this crap unless they're delusional themselves. But it's funny because last week we were down in Montgomery for the legislative days with the Republican Women's Group. And we were talking to, I can't remember which legislator it was, but they flat out told us that they have, at the state level, they have elected Democrats coming to them to say, we support what you're doing, we support these bills, but we cannot vote to support them because there's so much pressure within the Democratic Party that if we go on the record voting one way, you know, in favor of these things with you guys, we'll be destroyed. So, I mean, that's at the state level. There's the pressure on them at a congressional level is unthinkable. So I don't think they agree with any of it, but they absolutely have no choice if they want to continue to run as a Democrat. They have to vote for it. Which is really sad, and also I'm a little jealous because I wish people feared the Republican Party that much and voted based on our platform and what we believe versus just doing what they want, but, you know, maybe one day.
You know what? Here's the thing, though, and I hear you say that, but I have often found to be true that when people say, oh, this is political suicide, man, you don't want to go down that road, you might want to take a walk on this bill, don't get on the record, that every single time you just stand up and look everybody in the eye and go, you know, screw y'all, this is what I'm here for. They always respect that. I had never found a time when I was voting contrary to the flow that somebody didn't look at me and go, well, I respect that. And they may not like it, but then, you know what? I also never got beat. So I got reelected. I mean, I had teachers union folks telling me they were going to make sure I never got reelected because I dared to do these things. And I had guys that were quaking in their boots around me because the teachers union might come after me. Well, they came after me hard. And guess what? I went back for a second term. I mean, yeah. I just wish more people would take a I don't care what you think stand.
Yeah, well, ask RFK and Tulsi Gabbard how it worked out for them when they did it, because I think they would agree that it was worth the battle.
Absolutely worth the battle. And look where they are right now. They're the ones who are still mm-hmm. standing. What is it? Scripture yeah. says, you will look for them and they will not be found. Well, that's the bad guys. The ones who yeah. stand are the ones you're still seeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so let's talk about that for a minute. So Tuberville's bill went down on a straight party line vote last night. He had to have 60, which meant we needed some defectors. I say defectors. It shouldn't be a defect. But we needed some people to come over across the aisle, and they didn't do it. So the vote is now down. We got it through the House with a couple of Democrats joining. Couldn't get it in the Senate. It's a state fight for right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, and thank God Alabama's kind of ahead of them on this. We passed that a while back, and hey, we now know what a woman is in the state of Alabama. 3 years later, we finally got that done. I've not harped on that enough. I know. But yeah, I mean, it absolutely is a state fight now. I mean, you've got places like Maine. Y'all were talking about that earlier. They're, at least for the moment, they're digging their heels in, and they're going to let yeah. this happen. I'm sure California will do the same. New York, you know, all the crazy ones. But it really does come down to individual states at this point until we can figure out another strategy to get it done at a federal level. I mean, maybe Trump pulling back all their money will help them figure it out. But it absolutely is going to be an individual state battle. And probably even from there, it's going to be a local school battle, because you're going to have schools within these crazy blue states that don't want to do it. And they're going to have to fight from within just to figure out how you survive by implementing that policy when your state's saying, no, we're not, but your federal government's saying, yes, we are.
Well, and I'm wondering if it's ever going to get to the Supreme Court. Because, really? I mean, the Supreme Court, I don't think, is going to sit still for the idea. I mean, we already know that Title IX's been protected now. The Biden administration is out, and the Trump administration brought a whole new day in for that. And the Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much put an end to the idea of regulatory interpretations of laws now without congressional action. But I'm not so sure that we're through with this idea that states can try to perpetrate transgenderism in education and in sports without somebody having to sue and take it all the way to the Supreme Court in an affirmative action. I mean, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I get really confused on that whole thing, to be honest with you. So we've got where... Because did the Supreme Court officially rule on Title IX, or did Biden end up just pulling it back because it was trending towards the Supreme Court?
Well, one of the main things that happened was a separate case that said that they could no longer use what was known as the Chevron rule, which allowed the different departments to, quote unquote, interpret the law because they weren't sure what Congress meant, so they could interpret it how they saw fit. And so that went away. The Chevron rule is no longer there. They have to either have clarity or get Congress to give them clarity. They can't interpret it for themselves. So I think one of the things that we saw, though, was that Title IX is protected just on that grounds alone.
That's right. I remember this now. But it's been a very active 6 months.
Oh, my gosh. It's been like, you know, like flying in a helicopter with the doors open. But and JP was just saying a minute ago, JP, you just saw another state just declare the What Is a Woman Act. Who is that?
The Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed two executive orders recognizing the biological binary of man and woman and protecting girls from boys invading their sports.
Okay,
so that was about 20 minutes ago.
Those were executive orders 20 minutes ago. He's what state?
Indiana.
Indiana, that's right. Well, good. All right. Outstanding.
Nice.
Well, listen, there's more room for this, but it ain't going to happen without parental involvement. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to, like y'all are talking about, it's going to take parents getting involved, moms going into the locker room with a big stick and just whacking people over the head and telling them to get out. it's going to get to that point, because, I mean, people are fed up with it. They just, no one believes this crap anymore. And you've got all three branches of government, and you still can't figure this out. So I just think that the tolerance level has been exceeded, and parents are really going to get ticked off. And now, thankfully, parents have a way to report this nonsense to the Department of Ed.
Yep.
So, you know, the Dear Colleague letter went out a couple weeks ago that basically told public schools, you have until the 28th to get rid of all this radical DEI nonsense in your schools or potentially lose funding. So we've been busy submitting complaints in the state of Alabama. And
no, not you.
I would not ever stir that pot. I did it, and then I sent it to three or four other people and said, hey, you should submit one too. But like you said, they've got the Secretary of Education confirmed, and she's ready to dismantle it. So now is the time for parents to step up, because you've got more support than ever. But no one knows the details of what's going on in the school more than the actual parent of the child.
That's right. And no one should know more. And no one should have more decision-making authority than the actual parent or legal guardian of the child. You know, and I guess the last thought on this, too, is if we don't see this, here's one of the reasons why it has to be a federal issue on this, because it's a true gender discrimination issue, really. And we already protect, you know, race-based discrimination, gender-based discrimination from the federal level. This is what that is. But you're also going to have a patchwork quilt. If you've got somebody in Arizona that's in a state that recognizes only man and woman and California won't, guess what? You have cross-border sports. You have teams in Arizona that have to play teams in California. What are you going to do?
Right.
And so it's going to be a weird dynamic if they don't start getting a handle on it pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, and then the federal funding that goes into all of them. I mean, there's not a school out there that doesn't get Title IX funding.
Yep.
So are you going to penalize one state's program and not another? I mean, it just gets dicey really quick. So they're going to have to deal with it very, very quick. I mean, and they kind of have, right? They've done the executive orders and all that, and they've said if you don't comply, we're pulling back federal funding. But they're going to have to get to the point of following through on that, making a couple of examples. And then I think schools will get in line. But it's just going to take time, but they're going to have to do it.
Well, they're going to have to do it. And right now, I feel like we've been given breathing room to do it, even though we lost the vote last night because of Democrats. But all right, Emily Jones, host of the Controversial Mom podcast as part of the Right Side family, and also with Moms for Liberty. Thanks again, as always.
Thank you.
See ya. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. I'll get a couple of text messages and get ready for our next guest. Folks, I'm just telling you, this issue ain't going away. You know why? Because it's about our kids. That's why. And they're worth fighting for. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.